Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters. I am Unzinger Curry.
And I am Major Brad Cooper.
And together, we bring you Army Real Talk.
Ma'am, I am so excited about today's podcast because today we get to discuss one of my favorite topics, leadership.
Well, I'm sure you're excited, Major Cooper, especially with your background as company commander for over 2 years with the 3rd Infantry Division. You led how many soldiers?
Well, I was a battalion redetachment commander for about 15 months, and that was a little over 200 soldiers. And then after that, I took over Bravo 703rd Brigade Support Battalion and 3rd ID, which was a maintenance company. That was about 110 soldiers.
See, very impressive. Then you were the Army Field Support Battalion's XO for the 402nd Army Field Support Brigade, working with over 100 DA civilians and supporting 2 BCTs and 1 aviation brigade?
Yes, ma'am.
See, it looks like you have a lot of leadership experience under your belt. So this episode is right up your alley. So I and our listeners, we're gonna sit back and enjoy this leadership talk, listening to what you and our talent has to offer. So tell me, what is today's episode all about?
So today we're going to discuss different leadership styles and topics from former company and battalion command teams. Hopefully today's discussion will give future commanders and first sergeants and other future leaders some ideas on how to be a more effective leader. So the plan is to throw questions out at these gentlemen that I have here in front of me today in order for them to discuss among the group of how they've handled certain situations while they're in their leadership position. So now, without further delay, gentlemen, please introduce yourselves and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hey, team. Very excited to be here. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Courtney Abraham. My last command was Army Field Support Battalion, Fort Bragg, where I led a battalion in support of the 82nd Airborne Division, as well as downtrace organizations throughout the state of Virginia at 4 different installations. I'm currently a Secretary of Defense Executive Fellow and serving with SAP.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be here. Really appreciate you guys offering this vehicle to talk about leadership today. My name is Captain Nick Bono, former company commander of Delta Company, the 29th Brigade Engineer Battalion that supported 3rd Brigade, 25th Infantry Division in Hawaii. At the time, it was the light brigade supporting operations in the Pacific. As an MI company commander, supported 122 soldiers across 17 MOSs, so a very diverse company organization, providing intelligence support to the brigade and the division.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Tropical lightning.
Thanks for the invite. My name is First Sergeant Retired Stephen Canonico. Been lucky and fortunate enough to be selected to be a First Sergeant 4 times over 8 years period of time.
That's amazing.
My last First Sergeant time, even though my background was artillery, I was selected to lead a brigade support company, 602nd, out of JBLM, Washington. Diverse unit with we had the maintenance teams and we had the dining facility underneath us and a lot of support in the whole brigade itself. So being fortunate enough to take that unit as my last First Sergeant time was very honorable.
Nice. Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you all for coming again.
And thank you for your service.
So our first toss-up question goes out to all three of y'all. How does the military engage stability and keep soldiers motivated and engaged?
My personal thing with this is the stability, the way you used to make them stable is making them comfortable and understand that they have a career path. And the way you do that, I feel, is through the sergeant's time training, leadership, development, and also through promotion, anything like that to make them to understand that they have a stability and a career path to go forward to understand that.
You know, stability is very tough to reassure in our profession, but as leaders, we can focus on predictability within our organizations. And I view predictability on things such as publishing training schedules, long-range training calendars, having time obligated, such as training holidays, allocating for family time, leave, providing those soldiers with that predictability does encourage stability, not only for them, but also for their families. And that's where a huge point of motivation comes in, not only to support our Army soldiers, but their families as well. And if we can maintain that type of commitment and engagement, we can continue to have a great Army team abroad.
Yes, sir. I'll second that. At the company level, you realize and recognize the hard work that your echelons above the brigade are going to make the training schedule predictable, to align those resources for families and for soldiers. And at the company level, motivation really comes from the cohesiveness of the team and the relationships that you have at the unit level. And being a company commander, you're what they say is the last level of direct leadership. But you really see direct leadership at all the ranks throughout that. You know, the relationships that your squad leaders and your team leaders have, that your lieutenants have with their platoon sergeants, all those relationships really form a family bond and a team. And so when that team understands what the mission is and what the requirement is for it, it's easy to self-motivate and to stay focused on those priorities and those mission standards. So whereas, you know, the larger unit kind of takes care of the family and the Army body, you know, on home station with all those resources around it, it's the motivation that you get by focusing on the mission, on your unit tasks, and on maintaining that readiness to support, you know, when the nation calls, when the balloon goes up. That's a real source of motivation that I think applies, especially at the company level.
To tease that out a little bit further, you know, when we get into that motivation piece, soldiers, leaders, officers, NCOs, we all join the military to be challenged. And through those challenges that we see from day one of entry, whether it be basic training, officer candidate school, and going into our organization, you know, those challenges that we're met with, that we're allowed to be involved with the team and overcome many of the challenges that we face, continue to build that motivation, that camaraderie, that team aspect. And when we allow those soldiers to compete and remain motivated in what they do, that keeps them in, that keeps them focused, that keeps them driven to achieve.
Yeah, and let me elaborate after your Army career a little, with me being a little retired now, right? So during your career, you're always motivated. Now you keep that value, the Army values that are instilled into you, you bring those out into your lifestyle afterwards. So like me, I'm currently coaching a middle school baseball team. And now I'm taking my leadership and my motivation and putting it and encouraging it into young little athletes right now. And believe me, the school that I'm coaching for right now, they didn't have a great season last year, but I can tell you right now, I have parents already coming up to me. I have seen a difference in my player, my son, or my daughter already because of that.
So going back on what you said a little while ago, sir, about dealing with the different types of soldiers. So the millennials, you know, they're the ones that always want to know about the why and stuff like that. And that's the big thing in the military, because where the first sergeant here grew up, where you didn't question the why, you didn't question the authority. How's that different nowadays with the generation Y and Generation Z coming up, when they want to know the why of when they're given a task or why something's about to happen? Any one of y'all?
So I'll jump in and say that I think, you know, of course, I don't have a huge frame of reference. I can't go back 30 years to say what the Army was like then. But I'll say that my soldiers were incredibly smart and incredibly curious. And, you know, going back to the previous question about motivation, I think they motivated me every day because of the innovative solutions they were presenting to the problems that we faced. So when, you know, we're talking about a new generation of soldiers that's asking those questions and wants to know why, I think it's actually important to recognize that there's real value in explaining that to them. You know, we talk a lot about mission command and how difficult and challenging that is. Part of that is just giving them a little bit more explanation about what the mission order is so that they can actually go out and find an innovative solution to it. I couldn't tell you how many times that, especially in a military intelligence company where the company commander is not necessarily the subject matter expert on every int, right? We don't know the details of how everything works. And so to be able to flatten the organization and allow soldiers to actually come up with solutions or ask questions that haven't been asked by staffs yet as they think through what the assumptions are to the plans. You know, there's some real value in providing that. So I think the Army is actually richer because of the millennial force. I think if we take advantage of that, we can solve a lot of problems from the bottom up.
Awesome.
Good stuff. So I actually think that your answer kind of answers the question that a lot of people are asking. I read a piece in AUSA's Army magazine about basically Generation Y and Generation Z, and how is the military, but in particular the Army, keeping the younger generation stable. As you know, this generation, Generation Y, they take a job and they're there for a year and then they leave and go somewhere else, and they keep moving and keep moving, and they were trying to figure out how will that materialize when someone joins the military. But I think when you spoke about earlier about the soldiers knowing the mission and then them being able to understand the why or be able to have the answer to the why, I think that will keep them stable and that will provide them with the opportunity to own and to be invested in whatever it is that they have been charged to do from the Army. So good answer. Thank you.
So, sir, Colonel Abraham, sir, I'm going to go ahead and direct this one towards you, sir. Would you agree or disagree that it is important to be transparent or even vulnerable when you are a leader?
I absolutely agree that it's important to be transparent. Kind of goes back to my original comment about predictability. Having transparency in the mission, the organization, the strategy, where we're going long-term and short-term is important to also getting at the why soldiers are executing a mission at this time, at this degree, to this extent. When they understand the why and leaders are providing that transparency, it goes a long way in building trust, building a stronger relationship, building a bond between soldier and leader, and an overall trust. And that trust is necessary to build back in garrison, back in a training environment, because when you go into contingency operation, no notice deployments, you have to have that already founded trust that's built on a solid relationship that all understand that they can believe in their leaders, they can believe in their subordinates, they understand when a mission is directed their way, that it is for the betterment of the organization, and that the soldiers are put into the right predicament, into the right placement to do well.
That's a good point, sir. That's a good point. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely because as a leader, you must be approachable. And if you're not approachable and you're not going to be able to be transparent like that, them soldiers are not going to come to you and they're going to actually be afraid of you. And then that's not what we're about. We need to understand the soldier. And if you're not transparent like that, you're probably going to miss the buck. And then that soldier doesn't feel like they could reach out to somebody, and then they start getting themselves into trouble, depression, anything like that can go in a bad spiral. So you definitely want to be approachable.
You know, Top, and also that transparency yields for the soldier to be able to provide their ideas, their thoughts, their best practices, and, you know, their input to the leaders as to where they see the organization going and how it should also move forward. And getting that bottoms-up feedback is critical to the overall mission success of the organization.
I totally agree. I mean, my last first sergeant job, I came in and I did some changes. And I'll never forget this specialist come up to me and say to me, "Where were you in my life 18 months ago? I needed you 18 months ago." And I replied to him, "Well, I'm here now, and we're going to get you going in the right direction." And then that's what makes you feel loved and appreciated and yeah. Know that you're doing the right thing for that soldier and his family.
Yeah, that's value.
So first, I'm going to toss this other one to you. So do you agree that leaders are made, or do you think that they are born, not made? If so, how does the military develop and make leaders?
I honestly think they're both. And the reason why I say that, well, a lot of people never believe this, but I was very shy coming up, you know, very to myself. And the Army took and got the leadership out of me. And they brought this different person. So even like when I go home to my parents and the way I'm the way I speak, the way I carry myself with confidence. And now I take that skill set that the Army gave it and I pass it on to my kids. And now to hear my own kids, I have a teenager, and hear him now.
I have a teenager too, man. They suck sometimes.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, but just having that skill set to be a born leader and transparent. So now let's go back to my 11-year-old. He's one of them that I believe is a born leader. And the reason why I say that is because he takes the lead without me even saying anything.
Wow.
Baseball, you know, GPA, you know, I don't have to tell him to go do his homework. He just takes the lead in a lot of things. So I appreciate that, what he's able to do that. Now, how we continue to develop and make them, that's too easy, through professional development. And we send them through non-commissioned officer education schools, okay? You either go to WLC, which I believe now remember, I'm out for a little while, so I think it's changed now. But you have that, then my day was BNOC and ANOC, but now you have ALC.
And SLC,
and SLC, yeah. Advanced Leadership Course and Senior Leadership Course. And now, when I got out, we didn't have to go through the First Sergeant course or the Master Sergeant course, but I think now
it's Company Commander and First Sergeant course.
Yep. Roger. So a lot of education out there to take advantage of, and that's how we continue to make them and develop them as better leaders.
You know, I believe leaders are made, and they're made through education, training, and experience. Their education is critical from the moment that they start primary school all the way up through high school, college, graduation, into the military, and the training that they receive there, the education that they receive through their professional military education. And that training goes on, or that education goes on throughout your life. So for a soldier, you will conduct training initially throughout your career, but you have to continue to educate yourself through reading, through documentaries, through talking to senior leaders, through going to other forums, wherever you can get that education, you need to do so. Through training, you're going to continue to build on your foundation that you started in whatever career that may be in. And that training will allow you to also use that education that you have to make wise decisions to execute the mission in an extraordinary fashion. And lastly, through your experiences, because we're all built upon our experiences from our home life. And, you know, you go back to your son, Top, about him doing some of the things naturally that he already does. But I would suspect that he saw all the hard work that you put in, all the early mornings, the late nights, the deployment and the support with soldiers. And he's mirroring a lot of that in what he saw in you. And, you know, with a lot of the other aspects of a child's life now with martial arts, baseball, sports, all those things allow them to build great experiences.
Exactly.
And allow them to be leaders in their own right. And we need to extract all those things in the Army and build upon that and allow these kids to come in and be ready to lead. But we must continue to foster that and build them up through the professional military education, training, and additional military experiences.
So I'll second those comments. Absolutely. I think there's certainly some personal traits that you're born with or that you have a stronger ability to nurture that make good leaders. But I also think that it's important to talk a little bit about, you know, the informal team building and leader development that the Army provides internal to the institution. So, you know, talking about the formal piece and the structured regimented education is extremely valuable, and I think the Army does it really well. But for future company commanders and first sergeants, you know, this may be the first opportunity when you come into that organization to really see the way that leaders build teams internally. I know I recognize that as a staff officer prior to taking company command, it wasn't as transparent to me, but when I became a company commander, I absolutely saw the way that leaders were able to manage teams and build teams to ensure the units were ready and that they performed at the level and the standard that those senior leaders expected.
So let me ask you all this. So as a former battalion commander and company commander and first sergeant, how do you guys decompress? Because these are long hours, 12, 15, 16 hours a day, and you're doing it for 2 or 3 years at a time. You first sergeant, you've had 4 times as a first sergeant with 8 years totaling. So how do you decompress and take time for yourself and your family?
So when my commander and I, well, we made an agreement where once a week, you're leaving that office at 6 p.m., no matter what, because you got to get that time away. Because if you're always in that office all the time, you're missing out on some quality family time. And we all know what we signed up for, right? We all wanted that position. We know it's going to take away, but we really need it. And Kate's point taken, I'll bring back to when I was a recruiter down in Miami Battalion, and you're working 12, 14-hour days out there as a staff sergeant, and coming home and just trying to help people join the military and just seeing how you could better them out there. And you get those long days. But I just remember my now 15-year-old, my son Hunter, and I'd be so drained, but I would walk through that door and I just hear these two little feet running down the hall and then give me a big hug. And I tell you, That was the biggest, that now man got me through recruiting. And just having that time to spend with him. And then, you know, now I got other children, and just getting that one-on-one time with my wife too. You need it, because you could start getting distant real quick from your family, and you just don't want to do that, because you want to make sure you try to balance it the best way you can.
I think leaders need to understand, especially at the lowest level, when they have a significant other, a parent, a friend, when you leave the office, you need to use them and to be able to have an outlet and talk about what's going on in the organization. Talk about your day, talk about your lifestyle. Many times as leaders, we live 24/7 in the Army, in our position. What we have to do today, what we got accomplished, what we didn't get accomplished, and what's going on tomorrow, and we take that home. But as part of the Army bond with your family, share those things. Allow them to know what's going on in the organization. And you'll find that by sharing it, they understand better. And it allows you to decompress more because you're not holding that in and preventing them from going through these same things with you. That's critical. Learning to decompress at a junior level is a bit harder than it is at a senior level. You've gone through multiple years, multiple tours of understanding who you are and the organization. It's very important that we look within ourselves and others to find those best practices that allow us to decompress and find those outlets that allow us to do it, whether it's sports, whether it's reading, whether it's exercise, or whether it's sitting out in your vehicle for 10 minutes after you leave the office before you go in.
Oh man, I've done that many, many, many times.
Many times, and it's critical, yes, but it makes a difference so that you it go does. In with some type of refreshed outlook before your kids come up to you.
So this podcast is called Real Talk, so, yeah. I'll be real about my answer. when I first came into company command, and our brigade commander met with a number of the new incoming company commanders and first sergeant teams, one of the things he said is, you're taking company command. You can hold your breath for a year. And you know, his expectation was that you're assuming this kind of responsibility and that you owe it to your company, your soldiers, and the Army to fulfill that requirement. And it's a big responsibility. Sir, I'll piggyback off of what you said. I learned a lot about myself in that year. I feel like I did hold my breath for a year. It was a lot of work, a lot of weekends spent, a lot of really late nights and really early mornings in the office and in the field working with my soldiers, getting them ready. But one of the contracts that I struck with my family and with my soldiers was that I was taking on that responsibility personally because, like First Sergeant said, you know, we signed up for that.
Yep.
But it's not really your company, right? In a lot of ways, those soldiers are going to be there for multiple company command teams. You know, they won't change out as often as you will. And so you can't expect your soldiers to hold your breath the same way that you might. So for incoming company commanders, I would say be prepared for that responsibility, for that level of engagement. It's almost a requirement. You know, the Army almost mandates it. So it's not banker's hours by any means. But for your soldiers, they should have the level of predictability we talked about, the understanding that they're in it for a much longer haul, and it's a different scenario for them. So they should have an opportunity to engage with family more often than you might. Their hours shouldn't necessarily be as long because they're not responsible for the planning or for some of the things that occur behind the scenes the way that the company commander or the command team is. And at the same time, Colonel Abraham, I think your point is exactly right. I had to be transparent and communicate with my family more than I have in any other job. I had to let them know what I was doing, why I was doing it, and what the requirement was in advance, while it was happening, and then after the fact.
Yeah, that's important. Definitely learn. Let household six know what's going on.
That's exactly right.
One of the things I want to say, one of the best advice that I received, and I definitely think it would make sense on what you said when you knew for that year you had to hold your breath or you knew what you signed up for. I went to a leadership event here at AUSA and they were talking about leadership roles, and realistically you're not going to have a true balance. But when you do go home, when you do spend time with family, to give them that time to, you know, shut down the work, you know, checking your phones, doing different things. You know, technology is great, but it also can cripple you in areas. But, you know, spend that time with your children, with your family, with your spouse, parents, or whomever, and really invest in that time. So then when you are gone for the many, many hours that you're serving as soldiers or other leaders have to pull in several hours, then they know that, you know what, while you were there, you were truly there. And they value that. And then you can go and, you know, continue with a healthy relationship at home and then also in the work field.
That's good. So we're about out of time, but I want to ask one last question. So, gentlemen, what's the one piece of advice that you either were not given or you figured it out after you came out of your command or leadership position that you want to give new commanders or new first sergeants or even soldiers that are going to assume a leadership position? Colonel Abraham, we'll start with you, sir.
It's an understanding that I did not have balance when I was in command. And going into battalion command, I understood that up front. As a company commander, I did not understand that. I thought I would be able to develop that throughout, and it was nearly impossible, especially with 30 months in command, two tours to Iraq.
Wow.
The balance was tilted so heavily one way that it was impossible to have that. But going into battalion command, my wife and I had that discussion 2 years out on what battalion command would look like, what we saw company command look like, and what we also saw life as a major going through my key developmental years, which were very, very tough. And, you know, we had that conversation and we also talked with the kids about what the expectations would be, the long hours, the additional time, the weekends. But we signed a contract. If I was home for birthdays, I would be there. Anniversaries, long weekends, we would take vacations when we could. Block leave, Christmases, holidays. We would try to make it a family event and honor one another during those times. And that's how we struck the balance. Was it 50-50? No. But did I try my best to keep my promise? Yes. Now, were all promises kept? Unfortunately not. But, you know, when you have different things come up, they understood that, hey, not this time, but the next time, or there'll be a makeup.
Yep.
And we'll figure that out. So those are key things to understand, that work-life balance is going to be tilted probably in the direction that you don't want. But it's necessary for you to be an effective leader, to take care of soldiers and be at the point of the spear at the soldiers and the organization's time of need, and to ensure that your family understands that and they're on board with that. Because if they're not on board, your career is going to be short because you need to keep them in tow with you.
That's good advice. Nick?
So two quick notes for company commanders, one external and one internal. The first is that you will be successful if you nest what you're doing with your battalion, your brigade, and your division's vision and intent. If you understand your commander's intent and nest underneath that, then you will be pointed in the right direction and you can proceed from there. The second is, and I'll reference the parable of Chesterton's fence. So the abridged version is that you show up new, you see a piece of fence in the middle of nowhere all by itself, and you go to remove it, but you don't understand why it was there in the first place. So you're coming into this job, you're taking over this unit, this organization. There are things in place for a reason that you may not fully understand. And you are not the first company commander in the Army. So
exactly,
it is very important to recognize that there are individuals all around you that have done this job before. Your battalion 3 and XO, your brigade 3 and XO have been company commanders, in addition to your battalion and brigade commander. And your first sergeant has been around the block a few times. And you can lean on your first sergeant to get an understanding and shape some context around about why things are the way they are. Don't come in like a bull in the china shop and change everything right away. Understand your situation, understand the context of why things are the way they are, and that'll help you going forward.
That's good. First sergeant.
Yeah, I tell you, I really think, like I said earlier, you must remain approachable as a first sergeant, as a leader. Because if you're not, like I said, you just don't get the communication and being able to help them soldiers and to lead them the way that they're supposed to be led. And you got to listen, because sometimes soldiers will not come up to you right away because of their pride and tell you what's wrong, but they're giving you key words through communication when you're talking with them, and you got to listen to those key words, and they could be cry for help. And you have to make sure you're listening because you can miss it. And unfortunately, it could cost somebody their life. And not only their life, it could cost them their family. It could cost a lot. So I think, you know, being a key listener and understanding that will make you a better leader and overall what you need to do.
That's great advice.
Very nice.
So thank you, gentlemen, for coming in today. Truly appreciate you guys sharing your leadership experience. And hopefully to the listeners out there, you guys may have picked up some gold nuggets or tidbits or whatever you want to call them that could help you in your future career, either as a commander or just an upcoming leader, whatever position you may be in. So again, I want to thank these gentlemen for coming in, and I want to thank our listeners for tuning in today. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked in here for all Army Matters. And for next week's episode, enjoy Family Voices.
AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldiers.
For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org. And listeners, be sure to have a beautiful yet productive day.
Oh.